It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. And I know in America, we don't understand that quite like people in other countries do, that, Sonny, it's so good to see you. Praise the Lord. What a delight. Sorry. So in other countries, you know, where you can't gather, where you can't share about the Lord openly, it's a lot different than what we have here. Here, we can share about the Lord openly, and we can testify of His goodness, and we can gather in His house, and we can fellowship, and we can have men's retreats and women's retreats and children's functions and VBS and all kinds of wonderful, glorious things that not everyone gets to experience. We are blessed in America with all the troubles that may be. We are blessed. We are very, very blessed here, and it is a wonderful thing to get to be in God's house, and we should never, ever forget that. Praise the Lord. Let's pray before we get into the Word. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just turn to You right now. Lord, this is Your time, Holy Spirit. You are our teacher, our director. You just have Your way. You just have Your way, Father. I am here to be simply Your mouthpiece. Speak what You'd have spoken. Work in our hearts, Father. Lord, work in the deep places of our heart. Your Word says that the deep calls out to the deep. Lord, the deep places of me are calling out to know the deep things of You, Father. Oh, Lord, because we want to be more like You, Jesus. We want to be more like You, precious Heavenly Father. And Lord, we need You to guide us into that. We need You to take us beyond ourselves, beyond our preconceptions, beyond our own ideas, beyond what we think, Father, to know Your truth. To know the deep things of Your Word and to know what it is to be into a deep and intimate relationship with You, Father. The Lord, it begins in Your Word. It begins in knowing Your Word. It begins in hearing Your Word. Father, Your Word says over and over again, if you have ears to hear, hear. Hear, let us hear, Father, not with just our ears, but with our spirit and with our soul. Let us hear from You tonight with everything in us. Oh, because, Lord, Your Word is all that counts, Father. Your Word is all that matters. Lord, everything has to be held up to Your will, Father, up to Your Word, precious Savior. Nothing else matters, Jesus. Oh, we thank You for Your presence here. We thank You for Your purposes over each person here tonight, oh God. Lord, we thank You for the people that are watching online. Lord, the people that can't be here tonight, oh God. And Lord, we just lift them to You right now. Father, we just lift Billy to You right now. And Lord, we believe that You are doing a mighty thing. We believe that You are healing him, oh God. We believe that Your purposes and Your plans will go forth in the name of Jesus. And we just apply the blood over him, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We know that You are working here, Father. And we thank You for that, Father. We lift up to You, Lord. Anyone in the body that's sick, we lift to You, Father, the body. And we ask You to move and to have Your way in Your precious name, Father. In Your glorious name, Father, we say amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. So tonight, this is part two, and the title of part two is Forget Not His Benefits. Did I get that right? Charles, did I get that right? Oh, praise the Lord. Because, you know, I'll write it down, I'll send it to Charles, and then I'll forget to write it down. Holy Spirit will give it to me, and I'll send it really fast, and then I forget. So forget not His benefits. So tonight I want to talk to you about benefits. Do we know what a benefit is? A benefit is typically something we receive because of something else. Sometimes because of what we've done or because of what we've paid for. Like we have medical benefits with our jobs, right? But we pay for those, right? I mean, we work. And because we work and we get paid, we get to put money into that medical benefit so that we have insurance. We have medical benefits. Well, when you get old, you know, you get other benefits like that one you pay for your whole life, like Social Security benefits, Medicare, all of these things are benefits, right? And we pay into them, and so these are things that we receive. Well, there is another kind of benefit, and you and I did not pay for it, but it was paid for in full. And we are the receivers of, I know it gets you really super excited. We are the receivers of these benefits. But if we never use them, if we never think about them or remember them, they're just sitting there, unused. Unused, just waiting. But we have a benefit package through Jesus Christ. Amen. He paid for us to have benefits. And we are going to talk about those magnificent benefits. And we're going to talk about the price he paid for that benefit. And you know, when we don't use that benefit, it's like we're wasting what he did for us. It's like we're not even acknowledging what he did for us. You know, everybody remembers, you know, Jesus died on the cross. I'm saved. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's so much more than that. It's so much bigger than that. But we forget it because, you know, we just get busy living life and doing life and things get struggle. And, you know, if you're at all like me, I just get so focus on what I got to do, what I got to do, what I got to do. It doesn't matter. You know, I might not feel good. I got a headache. My back is killing. My legs are asleep. My hip is out. And I'm just doing what I got to do. Just doing it all day. Just doing it. And then at some point, after I've suffered all this pain, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't take it anymore. And usually Scott will say, well, did you take something for it? Did you take a Tylenol? Did you do anything about it? And I suddenly remember, oh, well, no, I haven't done anything about it. Ah, Lord, forgive me, because I just was dealing with what I had to deal with. And we do that with him. We forget the benefits that we have through him. We don't have to push on when we're in pain. We don't have to feel hopeless. We don't have to live in sorrow, because one of those benefits covers those things. But sometimes we do, because, you know, we don't really understand the benefits or what comes with the benefits. Hallelujah. Psalms 103, verse 2 through 4 says this. Oh, he's already got it up there. Look at that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Hallelujah. Who forgives all your iniquities, benefit. Who heals your diseases, benefit. Who redeems your life, benefit. Who crowns you, benefit, with loving kindness and tender mercies. In that one verse alone, look at all those benefits that are yours and mine. Whoo, how Jesus prepared for us. And, you know, when we think of Jesus dying on the cross, we just think of the shedding of blood on the cross. And we kind of think about, you know, the stripes that he took on his back. But Jesus bled seven times separately. And remember, seven is God's number of completion, the perfect number of completion, seven. He did the earth, he created the earth, he created man, he created everything in the earth. And on the seventh day, everything was complete and he rested. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate high priest, and he shed his blood seven different times to atone for our sins for all eternity. Why seven times? Seven is the number of completion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at the times that Jesus, how many times Jesus shed blood. But first I want to read to you Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Hallelujah, Jesus. It says, seeing that we have a great high priest, this is Jesus, who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. Let us hold fast to what we believe, to what we have confessed. What have we confessed? That we are sinners and that we need a Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus is our Savior. Praise the Lord. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Those are benefits. Let us remember that there are benefits for us in our time of need, when we need mercy, when we need grace. It's benefits package. Benefits. And it is there for us. Always there for us. And we just have to call upon it. We just have to accept it. Choose it. Remember, it's part of our benefits package. The first time Jesus shed blood for you and I was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sweat blood. It says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly than his sweat. Became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. A moment of agonizing. Christ was praying before the night it all began, praying in the garden, knowing what he was facing. He was strengthening himself in prayer, because the word tells us to strengthen ourselves through prayer. Right? And that's what Jesus was doing. He knew what he was facing. He knew what was coming down, and he had to strengthen himself. He had to strengthen his spirit. He had to strengthen himself so that he didn't give in to the torment of the flesh, but that he stayed the course of what was planned. And it was so agonizing that the Lord sent angels to strengthen him. Do you know when you and I are in agony? And when we can't face anymore, and when we can't go forward, and we can't go backward, and we don't know what way to turn, and we don't know where to go to for help. Do you know that if we begin to pray and we begin to cry out to the Lord, he will send his strength to us. He will minister his strength to us, and he will give us the strength to carry on and to go through whatever it is that we're facing, just like he did for Jesus. And as they gave him strength, he continued to pray. And he continued to agonize over what was coming. And he sweat for you and I great drops of blood. That's the first time Jesus shed blood for you and I. The act of what he was going through, so horroring and so much torture. He knew exactly what he was facing in the end. And it was so grueling that from his pores came blood. Hallelujah. But you know, he didn't give up. He didn't change his mind. He didn't turn around and say, nope, can't do this. This isn't what I had in mind. I've done that. I said, okay, Lord, I can't do this. I can't face this anymore. I can't do it. I'm done. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't give in to his flesh, not even for a second. Which encourages me and it strengthens me, because it's the same Holy Spirit helping him that helps you and I. And if he could make it, so can we. And if he cried out to the Lord and received strength, so will you and I. We just have to remember to do it. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, when the high priest had to slaughter the bulls and the goats to obtain the sacrificial blood, but Christ became our sacrificial lamb, shedding his very own blood to atone for the sin of humanity. The second time Jesus shed blood, he says he was struck and he was beaten. In Matthew 26, verse 64 through 68, first Jesus was arrested in the middle of the night. He was taken forcibly from the garden to the high priest Caiaphas' house, where he had assembled a few chosen scribes and elders in the middle of the night, where he was then questioned and handled roughly and unjustly. Matthew 26, verse 64 through 68 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.'" Hallelujah. "Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do you have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?' They answered and said, 'He is deserving of death.' And they spat in his face and they beat him. And others struck him with their palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy to us, Christ, who struck you?'" Hallelujah. You know, when you get struck repeatedly across the face, you always end up with a nosebleed or a lip bleeding. Hallelujah. It always draws blood. And Jesus went through that and suffered that for you and me. And the third way he shed blood was when they plucked his beard out. You know, in biblical times, the worst abhorrence, the most dishonorable thing you could do towards a man was to slap his face and to spit in his face and to tear out his beard. This was a common practice for someone that they were trying to show absolute abhorrence towards. To suffer that kind of hate, that kind of rejection, that kind of animosity when you are completely innocent. And you know, when you tear out a beard, they're not just plucking one little hair at a time. But for many women that pluck eyebrows, you know, you occasionally nip yourself and you bleed. You bleed. Imagine pulling great hunks of a beard out. Imagine the blood that would draw out. Imagine the pain that would leave on your face to have your beard, your mustache, your whiskers plucked out like that. It would be horrible. It would leave your face a bloody mess. Hallelujah. But in Isaiah 50, verses 5 through 10, the Bible says this: "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." This is talking about Jesus. This is a prophecy about Jesus and about this moment of him losing. Listen to this. "I gave my back to those who struck me." Remember, they beat his back. They whipped his back till it was shredded. That's what this is talking about. "I gave my back to those who had already struck him in the face, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard." Do you know why it says "I gave them my cheeks"? Because it pulled flesh away from his cheeks. He gave them his flesh when he allowed them to pull his beard out. He gave them his cheeks. He's not saying he just stuck it out there. Go ahead, do your worst. He's saying that they took flesh away. He gave them his cheeks. "To those who plucked out the beard, I did not hide my face from the shame and the spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced." That's exactly what they were trying to do. They were trying to make him feel shame. They were trying to make him feel disgraced. They were trying to convince him that he wasn't who he knew he was. And that is the enemy's same tactic today against you and me. He will try to dishonor you. He will try to shame you. He will try to make you believe you are not who God said you are. But with all that Christ went through for you and I, it is a benefit that we are called the children, the sons and daughters of God, and we can't let the enemy take that from us. We are not dishonored because the world hates us. We are not shamed because we will not conform to the ways of the world. Hallelujah. It says, he is near who justifies me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment, and the moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. When it was the darkest of times for Jesus, he trusted and he relied on the Lord just like you and I can. Just like you and I have to, hallelujah. And he didn't accept what was done to him as shame. He didn't accept it as being dishonored, because what it was doing was so much more important than what a few carnal-minded men imagined. What was happening was he was preparing your and my benefit package for being his children, hallelujah. Woo, there's no shame in that, praise the Lord. Oh, there is no shame when we suffer for Jesus Christ. There is no shame when we stand against the world for God and for his standard. We should be ashamed when we cave in to the standard of the world. We should be ashamed when we forget the benefits that Christ paid for you and I. But when people come against us, hallelujah, that shouldn't be shame. Hallelujah. Oh, because Jesus suffered it first. Jesus suffered it first. The fourth time, Jesus' back was scourged. Hallelujah. John 19, verses 1 through 3 says, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him again. They struck him with their hands again. They laid their hands upon our Jesus and drew his blood. To be scourged under the Roman law was brutal. Sometimes people didn't make it through the whipping. Sometimes the punishment was so severe that you couldn't live through it. Hallelujah. The culprit was stretched out with cords or ropes, thongs upon their hands on a frame where their hands were spread apart. And they were beaten with rods or with leather thongs. So you have some kind of a rod, a wooden thing, and on the end of that, there were many strands of leather. And then the end of those leather pieces was pieces of glass or metal, things that when they hit your skin would hook in and pull flesh away. It was a brutal thing he went through. Not only would Jesus' face not have looked recognizable after having been struck and beaten about the face and having his beard plucked out, hallelujah, but then his back was shredded, hallelujah. All for the love of you and I. All for love of you and I. All to give us a benefits package. All to give us an assurance. to give us insurance for what was to come, for what we would face, to give us strength, to give us everything we would need to draw near to God, to bridge the gap, to bridge the separation between God and us. Only Jesus could do that. Oh, hallelujah. It says that the fifth time he bled was when the crown of thorns was put on his head. It says the soldiers twisted together in John 19:2. It said the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Hallelujah. Jesus' blood was shed in this fifth way. When the Roman soldiers plaited together a crown of thorns and pressed him into his scalp. Hallelujah. They put it on his head and put a reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him. And the thorns pierced his skull, pierced his scalp, and his skin, like sharp needles, penetrating down to the bone. And the sixth way that Jesus bled for you and I was when he was crucified. He was bleeding profusely from his head, his face, his back, his sides. Hallelujah. And then they drove spikes into his wrists and his feet, laid him on a wooden cross. And you can find the verses to that in Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, John 19. And this was at least the sixth time that Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, willingly spilled his blood. Suffering death to crucifixion. You know, crucifixion is one of the cruelest forms of death, because you slowly, your whole body begins to break. All of your bones, as you hang there in that position, slowly begin to break and put pressure on your chest cavity, putting pressure on your lungs and your heart until they can no longer function. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what was coming. He knew how he was going to die. And he prayed for strength that he would face it, that he wouldn't give up, that he would see it through. How many times do we give up before we've seen it through? When Jesus gave all of his blood for you and I, how many times do we just give a drop? Because we can't face the ridicule, because we can't face the embarrassment or the shame or the pain. How many times do we give up, or we refuse to love when we're called to love, because it's just too painful. It's just too hard to forgive. Look at what Jesus has forgiven us of. Look at what he gave for you and I. We were not Christians. We were not perfect. We were not righteous when Jesus died for us. We were the unrighteous. We were the sinners. He died because we needed him. He didn't give up on us. We can't give up on him. We can't turn our back on what he's asking us to do. We have to plead the blood. We have to cry out to the Lord for strength. But we must continue running the race. We can't let the enemy win. And when we give up, he wins. If Jesus would have given up, the enemy would have won. But he didn't give up. He prayed for strength. And he went through what he did for you and I, so that we could know true relationship with the Father. The seventh time Jesus bled for you and I was even after he was dead. Jesus' blood was shed one more time. It says in John 19:34, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Even just one more time. They had to one more time take blood from Jesus. One more time. And all the last that remained ran out in that moment for you and me. Seven times the innocent blood of the Lamb of God was shed so that you and I could be freed from slavery and sin and death. The word gives evidence that the blood of Christ, or the sacrificial death of Jesus, has benefits. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about seven benefits of the shed blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Christ's blood, we receive life that death cannot conquer. Jesus has established a new covenant through his blood for you and me, and he intercedes on our behalf to enable us to enter more fully into his blood covenant with us. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who even at the right hand of God also makes intercession for us." Even though he died, he rose again, he still lives, and he is still fighting for you and I. He is still interceding, just like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is still interceding for you and I, that we will be what he has called us to be, that we will have the strength to run this race, to live and be a testimony of his love and of his power, that we will walk in his ways and the world will see Jesus in us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Number one, forgiveness. Number one benefit, we receive forgiveness. You and I have been forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus when he gave up his life. Without Jesus having died on the cross, we would have no forgiveness. Hallelujah. But Hebrews 9:22 says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Jesus had to shed his blood so you and I could live. And we need to live in that blood every day. We need to apply that blood. We need to use that blood. We need to call upon that blood. We need to trust in that blood and know that through his blood, you and I have power to overcome the enemy because of what he did on the cross. I apologize. I'm a little excited. Hallelujah. Number two, the cleansing. The cleansing of our bodies and of our mind. Hallelujah. Our consciences, our minds have been washed by the blood of Jesus, and we have been truly purified from all sin. Hallelujah. Whew, what that blood washed away in us. What that blood did for us stands forever. On my worst day, I am still saved and I am still forgiven. On my worst day, I am still justified and I am still sanctified and I am still a daughter of God because of what our Savior did for us. Hallelujah. It says in Hebrews 19:14, the word says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve a living God?" Woo! Oh, the word says, have your minds renewed through the Spirit. Oh, have your mind renewed. We need to be in the Word. Hallelujah. We need to be in the Word because the Word is life and the Word is true. And do you know that insurance companies hold you liable for what you know of your benefits? You could have lived forever without knowing you had a benefit package. And if you don't know, that's your problem because you're supposed to know. And if you don't use it, well, that again is your problem because it's your benefits. You need to know what is yours and what isn't yours. We need to know what's ours through Christ Jesus. It's time that we stop the enemy from lying to us and keeping us from what is rightfully ours. But as long as we allow him to rob, as long as we allow him to lie, as long as we believe his story, he'll let us. And we lose out on the benefits that was always ours to begin with. From the moment Jesus died, from the moment we accepted Christ, those benefits became ours. They are ours. And the enemy can't have them and he can't take them away from us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The third thing that we have through Christ Jesus is redemption. Forgiven and cleansed. We find that we have been redeemed from the clutches of the power of darkness. And in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's marvelous grace. Hallelujah. Woo! Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. We have been redeemed. We are not who we were. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and passed away because we have been redeemed. We have been made new. We have been brought forward into a new covenant. And what was no longer exists. What we were held accountable to before the blood of Jesus was shed for us no longer applies. Hallelujah. No longer applies. Hallelujah. Whew, the fourth thing is justification. Yes. We have been justified. Whew, hallelujah. It is one thing to believe that you are cleansed and you are forgiven and you are redeemed. But it is another thing altogether to understand. It is as if you hadn't sinned at all. Justification means doesn't remember it anymore. It's as if it didn't exist. Oh, that thing the enemy has held over your head for so long. God doesn't remember it against you. Only you and the enemy remember it. It didn't exist. It no longer exists to him because it's been under the blood. Hallelujah. Justification. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, and this is so good. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Huh. Doesn't matter if we feel it. Doesn't matter if we see it. Doesn't matter if we agree. We are, because he says we are the righteousness of God, because Jesus paid for our righteousness with his shed blood. We are the righteousness of God because Jesus made us the righteousness of God when he shed his blood, when he bridged the gap between man and God. That was taken away and we became, hallelujah, we became the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When we are justified, it's as if we never sinned. We are righteous. We are righteous. Oh, hallelujah. No other way to be righteous but through the blood of Jesus. Amen. No other way to be forgiven. No other way to be without sin. No other way to be justified except through the blood of Jesus. His blood was our answer. His blood was the fixer. Hallelujah. The fifth way is sanctification. Hallelujah. Now we take a step further into what Jesus has done, and we have been set apart and called holy and called sanctified. Oh, what an amazing thing that he who was a sinner became the sanctified of Jesus Christ. How does that happen? Only through the blood of Jesus. How is that possible? Only through the blood of Jesus. Protected forever. We are forever protected. We are sanctified. And sanctification is a process that began on the cross and continues till we reach glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are all a vessel of God, and only Jesus' blood makes it possible for this sanctification, because in him we can walk the straight and narrow. In him we can live the righteous life, the justified, the sanctified life, because Holy Spirit lives in us. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus' blood being shed. The sixth thing that we can have is peace. Because of Jesus' blood, we can have perfect peace. Not that there won't be battles, but the outcome was already determined on Calvary, and we just walk the steps through it, hallelujah. And we can live in peace knowing that Jesus already paid for the outcome. Jesus already paid for our victory. We've already been justified. We've already been sanctified. We've already been made the righteous of God. And we just have to walk it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. We can live in the peace of Jesus Christ, knowing what he's done for us, and knowing no matter what we face, our end is justified. Our end is already taken care of. It's already handled. What did Paul say? To be absent in this body is to be present with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The end is already determined, and we just have to walk it out. And you and I get to choose glory, and we get to choose victory. We get to live in the benefits of it or not, according to what you and I choose. Hallelujah. Number seven. We have access to the throne. Oh, woo! We have access to all the power on heaven and on the earth. Access to the throne. Jesus' blood made it possible for our complete reconciliation with the Father of heaven. Now covered in the blood of Christ, we are high priests who are invited to enter in to the Holy of Holies, who are invited in to the very presence of God. We get to commune with God. We get to be in relationship with God. We get to be in relationship with Holy Spirit. We get the benefits of Jesus Christ. We are not just simple mortal men. We are men and women filled with the power of the God of creation. Hallelujah. The God of life. Hallelujah. He is our Father. And we have benefits being his children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can walk right in. We can walk right into his room. We can walk right into the throne room. Hallelujah. And you know what he says? Welcome, child mine. Welcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He doesn't look at us and reject us. He doesn't look at us and see our sin. Who are you all dirty walking in here? Because our rags have been taken from us. And we have been arrayed in heavenly garments, in priestly garments, because the blood of Jesus has washed us. In Hebrews 4:14-16, the word says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. Hallelujah. If you have a need in your life, let us enter boldly, boldly into his throne room. Let us enter boldly before our King and declare that we are his children and declare the victory. Hallelujah, because the victory is yours, because Jesus already won the battle. Remember, I opened up with Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Hallelujah. How many times do we forget all that Jesus did for us through shedding his blood, all that he gave us, all that he has done for us? This psalm was written, I believe, by David. And that was long before Jesus. And David understood the benefits of a heavenly father. He was a partaker of those benefits. He was a shepherd boy made king because his heart longed for God's heart, because he longed for the things of God, because he understood who God was. He understood what God did. And when he sinned, he recognized his sin. When it was pointed out to him, he recognized his sin and he asked the Lord to forgive him. He offered sacrifices. He did what he had to do. You and I have it so much easier. We can go directly to God. And we can say, Father, I have sinned. Forgive me. Because I need you. Oh, praise the Lord. We have a benefits package like no one else. There's no other church. There's no other Christian belief outside of Christianity. There's no, you know, the Buddhists, all those other people, none of them have what we have in Christ Jesus. None of them have a Savior who died for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. None of them have what Jesus did for us. And if you have a need, Jesus is the answer. If you have a need, whether it is physical, emotional, financial, it doesn't matter because Jesus already paid for that need. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? Oh, praise your holy name. I'm going to close with prayer. And then if anybody needs prayer tonight, let's come forward and pray. And let's just everybody come forward. And if you don't need prayer, that's great. You don't have to have prayer, but we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the benefits that we receive from you, from being your children, from what Jesus suffered, oh God. Lord, it wasn't just on the cross that he suffered. And we just appreciate it, Lord. We appreciate it so much. Lord, we don't deserve it. Nothing we can do to deserve it, but Lord, we accept it. We accept it and we just say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all that Jesus did. Thank you for all that Jesus is. Thank you for all that he's doing in us. Thank you that this process of sanctification is walked out every day. And thank you that every morning brings new mercies according to your grace, Lord God. Thank you, Father. We thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for tuning in with us tonight. Thank you for being a part of a new beginning. We just appreciate you and appreciate your watching. And we just bid you good night. Be blessed.